What an opportunity we have to come together to worship our God, to sing praises with one another, to pray, come to experience our Lord together. I'm so glad to be here with you today to worship our God. Last spring, at our house, we had our pest control guy came by the house, and he was down in our basement, which is not a finished basement, it's like a crawl space kind of thing. And he comes up after being down there spraying and stuff like that, and he says, "I don't know if you knew this, but you got a leak back there underneath your back bathroom." I was like, "No, I did not know this." I was like, "But okay. So if you know me, then you know that I'm a cheap person. I don't like to spend money unless it's on stuff I really want to get. And a leak in my bathroom is not something I want to spend money on. And so, but I was like, okay, I'm going to look at this. I looked at it. I'm going to fix this. I'm going to take care of this. I'm going to get this done. And I was kidding myself because that wasn't going to happen. But I got some help. I got somebody to come in. This person that I know I can always call when there's something like that. And this person came in and, well, I shouldn't say I got help. I got somebody to do it and then I helped them do it. But I did a lot. I learned a lot because I saw it done. I feel like if the other bathroom ever starts leaking and the floor gets a little rotten or something, I feel like I can handle it. We had to pull out the toilet, had to pull up the flooring, replace, you know, some of the wood that's down there, put the flooring back, put in the toilet. I put in the vanity myself. He had already gone and I put in the vanity. So like, I was feeling really good after that. I was feeling strong. I was feeling independent and I like that feeling. And you could probably relate to something like that. And it may have started as me just trying to be cheap. Well, excuse me. As me trying to save money and be responsible. It may have started like that, but there was this little piece of pride that was in there too. To know that I can do that. That I can handle something. To know that I'm not helpless. If something comes up, I can take care of it. And that's not a foreign idea to us. Even at a young age. Our son Jack is 3 years old, and we're potty training him right now, or trying to potty train him right now. And it seems like we're actually seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. He's gone a few days without having an accident, so that's exciting. But in this whole process that seems like it's been lasting longer than he's been alive, he's getting frustrated. We're constantly asking him, do you have to go potty? Do you have to go potty? Do you have to go potty? And when he does have to go potty, do you need help? Because sometimes he needs help. But he says, of course, no. You don't need any help? No. Because he doesn't want our help. He wants to do things by himself. He's figuring things out. He doesn't want to hold our hand when we're crossing the street. He wants to do it by himself. He's a big boy in his eyes. He doesn't want us to pick out his snacks or his toys. He's learning that he's separate from us. And so he's trying and he wants to be independent. But even... as teenagers, adults, that concept of independence, but still a mask of pride, is there. It's a part of our lives, something that we deal with. And Paul is writing this letter, as somewhat of a letter of thanks, to the Christians in Philippi. So we'll be in Philippians, if you're following along today. He's writing this letter is kind of a thanks because they've reached out to him in these different ways while he's in prison. And so he's writing this letter of thanks, but he also in this letter talks about some things that concern him with, you know, like their group of people and things that are going on around them. And one of the things is the people that might be among them, that he knows are among them. And he calls them, he refers to them as dogs and evil workers. And as we look at this passage, we see that it's addressing this very similar issue that I face, that we all face, even to the people then. Let's look at this, Philippians 3. Beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of those who mutilate the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, who worship in the Spirit of God and boast in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Even though I too have reason for confidence in the flesh. If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. It's that issue of pride, and it's present here. And Paul is warning them of it, is warning of those who live by it, and he goes on to tell them that I know what it's like. I know what it's like to be in that kind of place. Because if anyone has reason to be proud, if anyone has reason to boast or to be confident in the flesh or in the things of worldly value or standard, he says, I have more. I have more. And then he goes on and into these descriptions of that in verse 5 and 6. He says, if anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. And so Paul begins to go through and name his own righteousness. That he would have reason to boast in or to be proud in. And there are some themes there that jump out at me and themes that I think relate to us today just the same. The first one is as he's going through this righteousness that he's describing, that he's boasting in, is he names these things. It's righteousness that's owed to him. It's something that's owed to him. He's of the tribe of Benjamin. He's Hebrew born in Israel, of an actual Israel people of God. He's saying that I'm important, that I have righteousness due to me because of who I was born to, because of my family. I'm truly a member of the people of Israel, the people of God. He wasn't a convert. He's not new to all of this. He's Jewish. He's a Hebrew of Hebrews. He hasn't recently learned all this stuff. He's always been it. His whole life he's been in it. He says, not only that, but I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. The tribe of Benjamin. And they would have heard that, and that would have stuck in their mind. Because the tribe of Benjamin was a tribe that didn't just join the revolt way back when, and they stayed true to the king of Israel. And so that means that Paul's ancestors were those who returned from exile, and they went to rebuild the city and to rebuild the temple. And so Paul's saying, oh, I've got reason to boast. Paul's ancestry was good. It set him up. Last week, one of the passages that I was meditating on throughout the week was passage from Mark 6. It's the story when Jesus goes to his hometown to teach and to preach. And that the people there, they reject him. And you probably remember that story, but he goes back there, he's preaching and teaching. And the people, they hear what he's saying, these powerful things, and they acknowledge that. But their response is still, is this not the carpenter? Don't we know his brothers? Aren't his sisters here with us? We can see in that passage that the interaction that Jesus has is it's a reiteration of this, the power of family and of connections that automatically bring a level of merit or value or respect or righteousness, as Paul would call it, that's due to someone. And we think, oh, that kind of thing doesn't necessarily happen nowadays. It's a different kind of culture. Well, it is different. And yet we see people that are different from us who might be someone who's less than us according to whatever social or economic ranking that you wanted to choose that's in our culture. And then we automatically consider what merit they have, what value they can bring, or what righteousness might be due them before we even have a reason to bring any kind of just judgment or consideration. For example, if we saw a person who was out in town asking for help, and then we come into a service or a small group or whatever it is, and then this person gets up and begins to share or to preach or to get up and lead or something, our first thought would be, wait a minute, what are they doing up there? Isn't that just the guy from... And we have the similar response that the people did to Jesus. We bring in our workings of the merit that is due to someone. Why would we do that? Why do we do stuff like that? Because if I can control what righteousness or merit is due to that person, then I can have more. Then surely I am better because I'm owed more. That I might have a certain level of righteousness or merit or value that's due to me. We do that kind of thing for all kinds of different reasons. And Paul continues, he explains all these different kinds of things, and then he gets into his religious affiliations as he's describing this righteousness that he could boast in. He says that I was circumcised on the eighth day. I followed all the proper religious rituals, even beginning, I was a baby. He says, I'm a Pharisee, which is a big deal. Big deal. I mean, lots of training you have to go through in the synagogue. They wore different clothing to set them apart so they would be the separated ones. They followed all of these rules, hundreds of rules, so that they could be really committed to God and not let other things get in the way. They had much reason to claim righteousness. And that's what Paul's saying, that I've done all of these things in the church. I've got reason to be confident and to boast. And we do too. We do the same thing. I've been in church my whole life. Or I go to church a couple times a month maybe. Or even, well, I've got a church home. That way when people talk about churches, you can have a place that you call your church home. We use being connected sometimes with the church, and if you're here, maybe it's this church, to show that we're good Christian people. I've checked off all the religious things that I need to. I'm good. I'm good with God, and even I'm good in other people's eyes. Oh, we've got reason to boast and be confident. Been in this church my whole life. My family has a pew in the sanctuary, maybe. We got a place we always meet up. I was baptized here, maybe as a baby even. I was confirmed here. I give a tithe. I even support some of our missionaries. And we associate all of this stuff, all these church connections with righteousness that we then deserve or have earned. Like those things give us righteousness and value in themselves. Because we like to do the right things. We like to do all the right things that make us good. And Paul did too. So he's saying that I was a Pharisee. I did all the right stuff. But then he keeps going and he gets into his like personal zeal. He says a persecutor of the church, because as we know Paul's history with being Saul and his experience with Jesus, he stood up to those the blasphemous teachings of those followers of Jesus until he had his own encounter with Christ. He says, under righteousness, under the law, I'm blameless. Paul did all the right things. He followed all the proper rules so he could claim righteousness. He had all the right religious connections so he could gain righteousness. And he was of all the right families and groups so that he was automatically owed righteousness. I have reason to boast. I have claims to righteousness. And he goes on. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God, based on faith. Whatever gains I had, I regard them as loss. And Paul had a lot of gains. Whatever gains I had, well, what does that look like for you? What do those gains look like for you? Paul was bold enough to write them out in a letter to a group of people to say, here's all the things that I could be boasting in, that I sometimes would rely on for my self-righteousness. But what does that look like for you? That's something that I have to think about and pray about in my personal time. What gains I have, those reasons that I might boast in. And rely on. Paul has reasons for for righteousness. It's Paul. He wrote almost the whole New Testament, we say. He's Paul. Went around preaching the gospel. And he's telling them all these different ways. He said, oh, I've got reasons to boast. I've got reasons and rights to righteousness. And he's saying that so that the people there might look at their own ways of self-righteousness. So that we might look at this and hear Paul's story and then evaluate ourselves. To see our own ways of self-righteousness. So what is that for you? What do you lean on? What do you rely on? But Paul, with all of that stuff that he said, whatever gains I had, I regard as loss. He says, because it is Christ's righteousness. Christ's righteousness alone brings us rightness with God. Paul's telling the Philippians what he tells the Galatians, that the only righteousness that one can experience comes as a gift from God and not a reward or of effort or connections. Like Peter says in Acts 4 that there's no other name given among humanity whereby we must be saved, because it's all through Christ, not us. This shows where Paul's entire religious perspective, his theological perspective, was shifted from pride in performance and in checking off items to then gratitude for unmerited favor through Christ. It means that he had no merit that was earned or deserved. The righteousness that he claims was a completely unmerited gift from above, a gift of God through Christ. So then there's no grounds for pride or for self-esteem. I think what the freedom that lies in that. What freedom? That's huge to the people of Philippi. He's telling them to watch out for these kinds of people. He's also calling them out directly. Those super religious people, as he once was, that he describes. And he was giving warning of this temptation to think that you can save yourself, to think that your efforts make you right in God's eyes. And then he points to the real source of that, which is Christ. And I believe that he's talking to us today. Because we have so much reason to rely on ourselves. We have so much reason. We have so many connections. We have so many opportunities to do the right stuff to make us holy, that we might say. So many categories that make us better than others. And therefore, we find ways to say that we're more worthy in those regards. Our lives are so easy in many ways that I believe Paul would write us a letter and say the very same thing. That he would still call us to this real faith that he has experienced as being one who lived a life that relied upon all that self-righteousness as the law, as he called it, to then experiencing Jesus and it's totally transforming his life. That he would still call us to rely on that real faith that relies on the righteousness from above, based from God through Christ, and not on the things that we could be confident in ourselves. If Paul's own works can't bring him salvation, what am I supposed to do for myself? But Paul's showing us that the people of God are people who rely on Christ's righteousness instead of our own. It's who we are. It's who we are. He says to those Philippians, beware of these dogs, these evil workers, for it is we who are the circumcision, who worship in the Spirit of God and boast in Christ Jesus. That we are the people of God who have been circumcised of the heart, as he refers to in Romans and is called for in the Old Testament. That we're people who are marked and separated to be people of God, who worship in the Spirit of God and boast in Christ. It says Jesus called the woman at the well to worship God in spirit and truth as He's trying to show her that He is God. Paul here is showing us that the worship God seeks for our lives is worship through Christ rather than what he calls the law, ourselves. It's who we are as people who know Christ, who have experienced Jesus. And he's showing the freedom that lies in that. But we like to be independent people. I want to be able to fix my bathroom floor. I want to be able to handle stuff as it comes up. I want to be able to provide for my family. I want to be able to help myself. And sometimes I can get stuff like that done and I feel powerful and strong. And then that can transform to other parts of my life and then I start to feel self-righteous. The more we feed that thought in our minds, the more destructive it becomes to our faith. The more we feed our minds that we can handle things ourselves by our own effort, our merit, then the less that we worship God in spirit of Christ. But praise God. Praise God that Christ would give to us His righteousness. Because I can't handle all this on my own. I'm not enough, but Christ is. Christ is enough. It's by Christ's righteousness that I am able. It's by Christ's righteousness I'm transformed. It's this righteousness from above that I'm saved. And so I make my prayer today as Paul does, and I challenge you to as well this week as he closes out this section. All I want is to know Christ and to experience the power of His resurrection, to share in His sufferings and become like Him in His death in the hope that I myself will be raised from death to life. All I want is to know Christ because I'm not enough, but Christ is. And that's what we celebrate when we come to the table of the Lord. Is that we come to receive the body and the blood of Christ into us. That we would receive the righteousness from above through Christ as we come to this table, which we so desperately need. Because we are not able, but Christ in us is. Let's pray. Oh Lord God, we praise You this morning. We give You thanks that You worked out this amazing plan to give to us Your righteousness through Christ. I pray that as we come to this table today, You pour Your Spirit upon us. And on this bread and on this juice, that they would be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we might then receive Christ into us, the righteousness, and be Christ for this world. All praise to You. In Jesus' name, amen.